Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. My subject this morning is more than crumbs and better than dogs. More than crumbs and better than dogs. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be here. Thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your people, for each and every one that's here. We thank you for those, O Lord, that have already been touched and ministered to by the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord, in the remainder of this service, through the preaching of your word and your anointing, God, upon me, your servant, God, that you would use me in this word to be a blessing to this people. Lord, that miracles and signs and wonders and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, God, would take place before we leave here this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I need a little more monitor, Jason. Our story begins with a woman crying out to Jesus for healing for her daughter. Her child is grievously vexed with a devil and needs to be delivered by the Lord. This woman is a Gentile. She is considered an outcast by the Jewish race. Not only was she an outcast, but if that wasn't bad enough, she was also a Canaanite, the most hated by the Jews. Another one of the Gospels tells us that she was also part Greek, which tells us that she was a pagan. She was a heathen, if you please. So this woman does not have grounds to come to Jesus. Her credentials are not very good. There's no reason for her to bring her resume to try to impress the Lord. And if that wasn't enough to keep her away, it's also worth mentioning that she was also a woman. Nothing against women. But women in the Bible days were not thought of like they are in America today. Women, you have it made. The Jewish men, when they prayed, said, God, I thank you that I'm not a woman or a Gentile. Meanwhile, back at Cottonwood Christian Fellowship. This woman, this is the point, I'm not picking on you ladies, this woman was not in a good position to receive from God. She was a woman, she was a Gentile, she was a Canaanite, she was a pagan, and the Bible says that she came to Jesus crying out for help. But the Bible says that he answered her not a word. Now, I've never met a person yet that enjoys being ignored. But Jesus ignored this woman. But she didn't stop her pleading. She didn't stop her crying out to the Lord. She kept on. Finally, it got to the point that the disciples were so bothered and distracted by it that the Bible says his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, shut her up. She won't shut up. She won't be quiet. You ignored her, but it hasn't stopped her. She's still crying out. She's still following us around. Amen. So for those of you that think, and I've mentioned this before, those of you that think that you would like to have Jesus as your pastor, you might want to consider this. Jesus ignored her. And so she didn't get what she wanted from Jesus. She went to the church elders. She went to the board, if you please. She went to the deacon. She went to his disciples. And they couldn't care less about her either. And Jesus, in fact, referred to her as a dog. But I want you to understand that calling her a dog did not stop her. Calling her a dog did not cause her to go away. Ignoring her did not cause her to shut up. She purposed in her heart that she was going to keep following them, that she was going to keep crying out, that she was going to keep pestering them until finally they gave her some attention. She had a need, and she was determined that she wasn't going to leave that day until her need was met. Folks, that's what it takes to receive something from God, is to have a made-up mind to be determined that what you need from God, you're going to keep praying, you're going to keep seeking, you're going to keep asking until your need is met. Verse 24 said, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, none of you can truthfully say that I have ever called you a dog. You wouldn't feel very kind toward me if you knew that I considered you a mutt. But Jesus said, it's not my purpose, it's not my will to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Now, this lady, as I talked about Wednesday night, and I've talked about several times since I've been here, this lady did not get her feelings hurt like some people would have. She didn't stop paying tithes like some people would have. She didn't move her membership down the street like some people would have. She didn't say, if they don't love me and appreciate me any more than that, I'll go somewhere else where I am appreciated, where I am loved, where they will make do over me. This good lady could have left and talked bad about Jesus and his disciples talking bad about her. She could have went down the street and said, don't go down to that church. Don't listen to anything Jesus has to say, because when you call out to him and you make your need known, he's just going to turn his head and ignore you. And when he does speak up, he's going to call you a bad name. She refused to be offended. She refused to get her feelings hurt. She refused to storm off in a huff and in a puff. She refused to take no for an answer. She was hoping that somehow there would be a ray of truth or a glimpse of hope or a crumb of bread that would fall from the master's table that would allow her to receive what she needed from God. He said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dog. In verse 27, she said, truth, Lord. She didn't deny it. She didn't try to argue with it. She didn't try to prove herself to him. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What this lady is saying is, God, I don't need a whole lot. God, I'm not asking you for everything that you're capable of doing. All I'm asking for is just a little bite. All I'm asking for is just a crumb from the master's table. And if I can just have that, then I know that'll be sufficient. I know that'll be enough to meet my daughter's need. We live in a world that has forgotten about crumbs. Instead of being satisfied with crumbs, most of us aren't satisfied with the whole bakery. Instead of focusing on what we do have, we spend more time worrying about and complaining about what we don't have. Amen. The truth of the matter is, probably every one of us in this building have already been blessed above and beyond that which we're deserving of. Amen. And if God never blessed me again in my life, he's already blessed me enough to cause me to want to live for him and to serve him for the rest of my days. Amen. I have it a whole lot better than I deserve. And if I know human nature, so do you. God's been good to every one of us. But all this lady asked for was just a crumb. And if there was enough power in one crumb to heal her daughter, if there was enough power in one crumb to cast out the devil, if there was enough power in one crumb to meet her need at the spoken word of Jesus Christ, I believe that there's enough power in this place today with the bread of life in this building this morning that every one of us here can go home full, that every one of us here can go home satisfied, that every one of us here can go home nourished and blessed by the power of God. Why? Because I'm not preaching to the outcast here this morning. I'm preaching to sons and daughters of the King. I said, I'm preaching to sons and daughters of the King. Amen. You and I have more than crumbs because we're better than dogs. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and all of us that have children, we love them and we care for them and we want to provide for them, right? Amen. Even after they're grown, my daughter sent me a text this morning. She said, I just wanted you to know I love you. And I said, who, me? Me? Are you sure? You got the right number? Me? You love me? Yes, Dad, I love you. And I love her. And I want to meet her needs. If she's got a need that I can meet, I want her to meet it. And he said, if you being evil, if you being earthly, if you being flesh, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father in heaven love you and desire to meet your needs and to do that which you desire from him to do? Amen. He has more than crumbs because we're better than dogs. Amen. We don't have to settle for a crumb. You can have the whole loaf. John 6, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There's no reason for anybody in this place today to leave hungry because the bread of life is here. There's no reason for anybody to leave this place thirsty here this morning because that well of living water that never runs dry is running and springing up in this place today. Amen. Now, I can't speak for you. I can speak for me and those of you that know me. When it comes time to be called to the table, I'm going to be one of the first ones there. I was raised in a home of five boys, and when mama said it's time to eat, you got to the table if you wanted to eat. If you dilly-dallied around and fooled around and kept playing with your truck or riding your bike, by the time you got to the table, it might all be gone. Because I wasn't the oldest, and I wasn't the biggest, and you met the oldest and the biggest, and he got big like that for a reason. So if you want something to eat, you need to get to the table. And I've had people tell me before, Pastor, you know, I wanted something from God today, but, you know, I did. No, you didn't get it. You didn't come to the table. Well, Pastor, I was going to pray, but this is the one day you didn't give an altar call. I'll tell you again, I've told you before, when the Spirit of God is moving on you, the Spirit of God is drawing you, whether somebody gives you an altar call or not, if God calls you, you need to obey his call. You need to respond to the moving of the Spirit. When the waters are stirred, that's the time for you to get in. Amen. Well, you know, nobody called me. I didn't like the way the table was set. I didn't like the glasses that she used. The silverware wasn't, you know, up to my liking. Oh, how many times I got to tell you, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry, even the bitter things are sweet. When you're hungry for something from God, everything doesn't have to be just right. Everything doesn't have to be just perfect. The music doesn't have to be perfect. The singing doesn't have to be perfect. The sound doesn't have to be perfect. The air doesn't have to be perfect. The preaching doesn't have to be perfect. If you're hungry for something from God, all you have to do is bring your appetite to the table and say, here I am, Lord. I'm hungry and I want to be fed. My dad tells a story. When I was about 3 years old, we went to South Carolina, and he started a new work there as a pastor. And we went over to some people's house, and I've already told you about my faith. And every time we go traveling, I can spot McDonald's for miles and miles off, and Burger King, and all these signs. You know, I'll just read them off. Dad said, "We're not stopping. We'll see the next one." I'll say, "23 miles to McDonald's. 18 miles to the Golden Arches." And we went to these people's houses, and my dad was telling me, you know, you need to be on your best behavior. All of these kids need to be on your best behavior. And I got tired of waiting for supper. And so we used to sing a little song back then, and I went walking through the kitchen singing, "Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Feed me all the days of my life. Feed me, feed me, feed me, Lord. Feed me, feed me." True story. I wasn't ashamed. I was hungry. We were poor. We didn't have a lot of food. They had more in their house than we had in our house. They thought we was just coming over to be nice and to visit. We was coming over to keep from starving. But if you're hungry, you need to make it known. If you're hungry, you're not ashamed to lift up your voice. If you're hungry, you say, "Feed me, feed me, feed me, Lord. I don't want to go home hungry. I don't want to go home empty. I don't want to go home the same way that I was when I got here. Feed me, Lord, from the manna of heaven." Amen. Well, none of that was in my notes. Thought of that in a long time. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." 1 Corinthians 2:19 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." It hasn't entered the heart of man, the things that God loves, that love him. Is there anybody here that loves him? Amen. We're here today because we love him. Where if we love him, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for us. And I don't believe that's just in heaven, as Ed and I was talking about this week. I don't believe that's just in eternity. I don't believe that's just on the other side. I believe God's got blessings for us here in this life if we hunger and thirst after them and are willing to seek after him and to make our need known. Amen. Most of you are familiar with the story of Elijah and the widow woman. A famine was in the land, so God said to the man of God, "I want you to go to this widow woman, and there she's going to provide for you." And so God sends Elijah there, and he gets to her house and to her property, and she's out in the yard picking up sticks, and he says, "I want you to go, and I want you to get me a glass of water." And so she, being obedient to the man of God, turned around and started toward the well to get him some water. And as she went her way, he said, "Hey, while you're going, why don't you go ahead and bake me a cake too?" And the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:12, she turned around and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. All I have, preacher, is just a few crumbs. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me, cook it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now I want you to notice this woman has faith, but her faith is like some of our faith. It's in the wrong place. Well, that means true. She had faith, but she had faith in the wrong place. She had faith in the wrong thing. Instead of having faith that God was going to provide for her, she had faith that she was going to die. Now, how much faith do you have? And where is your faith at? Do you have enough faith to believe God to do the impossible, to do the supernatural, to do the miraculous in your life? Or do you just are you just a doubter and a pessimist and see the dark in everything? Yeah, I have a problem dealing with faithless people. I have a problem preaching to faithless people. I get tired and I get weary of always trying to encourage the same people over and over and over again. I've talked to people and pastored people on Sunday. I'll say, I'll see you Wednesday night. And they'll say, well, maybe. And, well, what do you mean, maybe? Well, it depends on how I feel. You know, I'm trying to catch a cold. Why are you trying to catch a cold? Let it outrun you. Quit chasing after it. I'm trying to catch a cold. I feel sickness coming on, Pastor. I don't know whether I'll... It's Sunday. You got 3 days to get well. You got 3 days to get better. No, I got faith, but my faith is that I'm going to be sick. My faith is I'm going to die. My faith is I'm going to be worse off than I am today. Well, the Bible says, according to your faith, so be it. If you've got faith that you're going to be sick, you deserve to be sick. That which I feared, one man said, has come upon me. Quit sitting around fearing things. Fear God. Don't fear death. Fear God. Don't feel sick. Fear sickness. Fear God. Don't fear poverty. Fear God. Don't fear the things in the world that the devil wants to use to intimidate you and to cause you to be afraid. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you can be assured if you're sitting around being fearful and afraid, the devil has been talking to you. You've been listening to the wrong voice. You've got faith in the wrong thing. You need to have faith in God and believe that things are going to work out. Not sitting around imagining the worst that could possibly happen. I'll tell you what's the worst that could possibly happen. This is what Ed and I was talking about this day. We could die. But to die is gain. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm not sitting around worrying about dying. When I die, I'm going to heaven. When I die, I'm going to get a mansion. When I die, there's going to be streets of gold. When I die, there's not going to be any more pain. So why should we sit around worrying about dying? Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. It's a good day. When the days on this world come to a close for those that have died in Christ. Now, if you're not ready, if everything's not right between you and God, you need to be fearful. You need to be afraid. You need to come up here to this altar before we leave here in a minute and make things right between you and God. And then you can sing what I'm going to be singing. Don't be weeping for me when I'm gone. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Goodbye. Oh, I wish I could sing that. I'd just break out singing it right now. She had faith, but she had faith that she was just going to make her little cake and die. Preacher, I don't have enough meal. I don't have enough crumb to make you a cake. Just should have been happy that I was giving you some water. But like all you preachers, you always want more. Never satisfied. Always asking for this and always asking for that. The preacher said, get me some water. And he said, make me a cake. She said, I don't have enough but to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. He said, no, you make me a cake first. It's in the book. I'm not making it up. It's in the book. That's what he said. You make me a cake first. Now, how many people would have got mad about that? Had something ugly to say about the preacher about that? All he thinks about is himself. He's just selfish. Just me, him. No, it was tied to her future. It was tied to her preservation. It was tied to the miracle that God wanted to perform in her life. And he said, you get me some water and you make me a cake and then we'll see what God does for you. And she was obedient to the man of God. and she got him some water, and she made him some cake. And the Bible says that for the next 3 years, while there was famine throughout the land, she never run out of meal, and she never run out of oil. She just kept drinking and kept eating cake every day while everybody else was starving to death. Why? Because she did what the man of God said. Because she was obedient to the word of God. And the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. First, not second, not third, not if you want to, not if you have some left over. That's the reason people get in trouble. They try to pinch pennies with God. Well, I can't give you anything, God, today. I don't have anything left over. Well, what did you start with? That's where you're supposed to give from, what you start with, not what you have left over. Is that right, Alice? How old are you, Alice? How old are you? 88. She's 88. She's one of the oldest members of this church. She's been around a long time. She's got a lot of wisdom. If she says that's right, it's right. Second Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Now, understand, don't take this out of text or context. This is talking about a love offering that they were taking up for the people back in Jerusalem that was in need. Some people use this scripture to talk about tithes and how much they give to the church. Well, we just give how much we want to give. No, a tithe is 10%. You don't give $10 if it's not a tithe and call it a tithe. That's just an offering. That's not a tithe. Well, Pastor, you were doing pretty good till you got to that verse. I'm just making sure you understand. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. If you'll give generously, if you'll give cheerfully, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give back to you. And as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, and you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving to the needs of the believers in Jerusalem. Will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. You're going to be blessed, and they're going to be blessed. Their needs are going to be taken care of, and they're going to joyfully give thanks to God for your generosity. Well, no, I'm not giving to that building program. I don't believe in it. I'm not giving that love offering. I'm not giving to that missionary. I'm just gonna make my own cake and die. Duh. You can give first and have enough to sustain you through the whole famine, or you can eat one cake and croak. Let's see here. One cake and die, a cake every day for 3 years. Folks, that's the way it is. You give and God gives back. You hold back from God, God holds back from you. If you sow a bunch of seeds, you're going to get a bunch of harvest. If you just, okay, here's a penny for you, God. Here's a dollar for me. Here's a penny for you. Folks, you don't want to pinch pennies with God. I mean, he's the one that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's the one that you can't outgive. He's the one that's not going to be debted to anybody. Oh, I wish I had my bell. Ding, 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 ding. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not by me, not by you, but by him, by his riches. So I don't care how big your need is. Well, Pastor, you just don't know how big my need is. Well, to that I would say, you don't know how big my God is. You need to get your eyes off your big need and get your eyes on my big God and watch him perform wonders and the miraculous and the supernatural in your life if you'll believe him and trust in him. Amen. There's a difference between faith and miracles. Sometimes we want a miracle and God just wants us to have faith. When it came time for Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den, it would have been a miracle if God would have caused all the lions just to fall over dead. But it took faith for Daniel to be willing to get in the lion's den even though they were still alive. It would have been a wonderful miracle if when it came time for the king to throw the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, it would have been a miracle if God would just, and he could have done it, just blew the fire right out. It didn't matter if it was heated up seven times hotter. God could have just blew it out. He could open the windows of heaven to open up and to pour out rain and just put it out. But he didn't. It would have been a miracle if he'd have done that, but God said, no, I want to see your faith. And so they had enough faith. They believed God for a miracle, but they had enough faith that even if the miracle didn't take place, they wasn't going to bow and they wasn't going to bend. And because they had faith in God, God didn't let them burn. Oh, if you'll exercise your faith in God, you'll see a lot more miracles in your life. Want to see a miracle, Pastor, then show God some faith. Exercise some confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll see the miraculous in your life. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Luke 18, 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Folks, sometimes God just wants to see how much faith you have. He can answer you just like that. He can do it the first time. And this is another whole message, but he would not for a while. Sometimes he just waits to see your attitude. Well, bless God, I knew he wasn't. Yep, you're right. He knew that you knew or that you thought that he wouldn't. Folks, he knows it's whether you got faith or not. And not just because you say you do, but really down in here. And so this widow in this city came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus said, pay attention to this story. Pay attention to this judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. He could care less about this widow woman. He could care less about the problems that she was facing. But because she kept coming, because she wouldn't be quiet, because she wouldn't stop pestering him, because she refused to accept no for an answer, that is the reason that she got her request. Oh, how many people have I talked to that hasn't received what they need from God? And I say, well, how come you're not asking? Well, I did. Well, when? Oh, 37 years ago. What, do you still have a need? Yes. Well, how come you're not still asking? Well, he heard me then. He knows I have a need. If he wants me to, you know, receive my need, if he wants me to be healed, if he wants me to be filled, if he wants me to be thrilled, he already knows it. You missed it. He said you ask and you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. You knock and you keep on knocking. You don't just ask once. You don't just seek once. You don't just knock once. You do those things until your need gets met. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to say, well, I already tried. Because we have to swallow our pride and acknowledge we still have a need. And we have to keep swallowing our pride to keep praying. And to keep asking other people to pray. Folks, pride keeps a lot of people from receiving, probably more than anything else, keeps people from receiving from God what they need. Because they have too much pride to acknowledge they're a sinner. They have too much pride to acknowledge that they're sick. They have too much pride to acknowledge that they're lost. But you're not going to receive from God unless you're willing to swallow your pride and acknowledge your need and be honest. Amen. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You ever heard anybody whining about what they didn't have? I didn't hear no amens. I heard a few laughs. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. And why this and why that? Why? Just whine all the time. Just whining. This woman wasn't whining about what she didn't have. Neither did she deny that she wasn't really nothing more than a dog. But notice what it was that she did. Matthew 15:25 says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. The way to receive what you need from God is not by whining. It's by worshiping. It's by worshiping. It's by worshiping, acknowledging him. She said, you're my Lord. Lord, help me. I know I'm a Gentile. I know I'm a Canaanite. I know I'm a Greek. I know I'm a woman. I know I don't deserve anything from you, Lord. But I'm not going to come and whine to you. I'm going to come and worship you. I've made my need known. Now, Lord, would you help me? Now, Lord, would you heal my daughter? Now, Lord, would you supply my need? Oh, let's stand to our feet and let's worship the Lord. All over this building as they come to the music this morning. Come on, let's worship him. Come on, worship him. He deserves more than 5 seconds. Let's worship him. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you. You're a good God. You're great, and you're greatly to be praised, oh Lord. We want to worship you.